I understand that. I'm very sensitive, but in a manly way. I only cry over manly stuff. Not stuff like Lion King and Doogie Howser. Anyway, I'm very sensitive, and I know everybody didn't move the same way. I get that. I know we're wired different, and I know we got us, you know, some of us Pentecostals who are very spirited and very free to show it. We got some of us Baptists who think you say amen too many times. That, you know, you're out of order. I get that. It's okay. But this video is a video Dr. Miles Monroe. You may have heard of him. He was an evangelist, an author for many, many years. And he passed away recently. And he does this song, and we'll show a video. I played a couple years ago, a video called A Brand New World. And I think it's such a good message of what I'm teaching tonight, because the song talks about that we're searching for all this stuff to fulfill our lives. But until we're changed inside, nothing really matters. The change has to happen within us. And this song is just called A Brand New World. It really blessed me, and it does kind of introduce tonight about how that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to give us a brand new world. Jesus came to give us life beyond anything we could ever hope for in this life. Because we realize that stuff runs out, stuff passes away, but the promise we have in God does not ever pass away. I was watching a movie last night. I know none of you except my nerds in here want to know this movie, so Marjorie and Brennan will know it. And let's see, who else? Anthony will know it. That might be it. But anyway, I say it with great affection. But I was watching a movie last night, Doctor Strange. Yeah, see, told you. Doctor Strange. Anybody ever heard of that Doctor Strange? He goes on to become part of the Avengers. Well, Doctor Strange is a neurosurgeon. It's a superhero movie, okay? Let's just be honest. I'm kind of nerdy that way, too. But he's a neurosurgeon, and he has an accident, and something goes wrong. He loses his nerve in his hands. He can't operate. He can't be a doctor anymore. So he goes seeking to be healed. And so he goes to a faraway country, an Asian country, and goes and gets with this, people call it a cult, but gets with this group of people who teaches him how to use powers he didn't realize he had. Now, I'm saying all this to say this. As I was watching this movie, I realized it's about, he's kind of a wizard and it's kind of sorcery stuff. But I was sitting there watching that, thinking how spiritual that movie really is. Because in the movie, what he learns to do is he moves his hands and makes like a ring of fire called a portal. And he can jump through. All he's got to do is visualize where he wants to go. He can jump through and he's there. And I got thinking, I really believe that's our new spiritual life. There'll be no walls. There'll be no time to measure like we know it now, but we'll be able to move about from place to place like that. I truly believe that. So as I'm watching that, I'm like, man, that's going to be us one day. Not the sorcery stuff, okay? I know that. I can separate that, you know. But the spiritual part of that's a spiritual, because this little lady, they call her the ancient one, teaches him, because he's a doctor, and you know how some of us, people in our human flesh, we're very limited in what we believe. Okay, I believe what I see. I believe in medicine. I believe in science. I believe in archaeology. I believe in astronomy. I believe in what I can see. And she's trying to teach him there's a whole world you can't see. There's a whole nother side, dimensions. And when she first kind of threw in this little dimension, he's going through all these different things. He comes back and says, how'd you do that? Was it LSD? Was it drugs? What'd you do? I said, no. This is a whole part of life you have no idea about. But this song, Brand New World, any of you heard of Dr. Miles Monroe? Remember him, Dr. Miles? Anybody heard of him? Well, whatever. I am Southern. I'm proud of it. I'm very proud to be Southern. This song's called A Brand New World. I hope it blesses you. It's just, the song to me just speaks to the gospel. Jesus came to give us, and now we, because of Christ, we do have a brand new world.
Thank you. Something inside us always yearning, yearning for a brand new world. People everywhere are so confused. Leaders don't know just what to do. Everybody wants a brand new world. And though we send rockets to the moon and the stars, and though we make trains and ships that go very far, and there's not a mountain that man has not climbed, yet a brand new world he could never find. 'Cause if we want a brand new world, you've got to have brand new people. And if we want brand new people, you've got to have a brand new life. And if we want a brand new life, you've got to have a brand new spirit. And if we want a brand new spirit, you've got to come to Jesus Christ. Oh yeah! Teenagers try everything they could, yet I wonder if they ever would find themselves a brand new world. An old man sitting in a barroom door, he still can't find what he's searching for. Oh, how he wants a brand new world. A brand new world depends on me and you, but we'll never find it in the things that we do. 'Cause Jesus promised a world of his own, and he invites you to come along. 'Cause if we want a brand new world, you've got to have brand new. To have a brand new life. Oh yeah. But if we want a brand new life, come on choir, you got to have a brand new spirit. And if we want a brand new spirit, you've got to come to Jesus Christ. Understand why man has failed every time to find himself a brand new world. Jesus knew, and that's why he came to bear a cross of sin and shame, so he could bring us all a new world. And though we change governments many times in our lives, the world is still the same. Why can't we realize that you cannot change a man from the outside, my friend? A brand new world begins within. Sing it! 'Cause if we want a brand new world, to have brand new people. If we want brand new people, you've got to have a brand new life. If we want a brand new life, you've got to have a brand new spirit. And if we want a brand new spirit, you've got to come. Sing it with me, everybody. If you want a brand new world, if we want a brand new world, gotta have a brand new people. If you want a new people, if we want brand new people, have a brand new life.
Have a brand new life.
If you want a new life, if you want a
Jesus Christ.
Exciting. A brand new world starts inside. The things in life don't give us that, but Christ did. And I am so thankful for that. So we're going to kick this off. I have my Bible, my glasses, both in my office. Can you grab that for me, honey? Yes. The gospel has no borders. Aren't you glad for that? No borders. The gospel is not just for one group of people, one type of people. It's for all people. This good news for those that's not been so good. This good news is for every race, every language, every background. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't do background checks? Yeah, no, you ain't got amen too loud, I understand. I am very thankful that he doesn't do background checks, but he says, come to me as you are, and I will give you rest. Come all who are heavy laden, who burdened, and I will give you rest. If we finished up, I should get my Bible, I'll recap a little bit last week. We finished up last week, if you remember, with Stephen being stoned to death. Stephen was the first recorded martyr preaching the name of Jesus, who was killed simply because he preached Jesus. And Brian, he's not here tonight, Brian brought up an incredible point. I was so proud of him speaking up last Wednesday. That was incredible, wasn't it, Don? But he spoke up last Wednesday and made a very good point. The close of chapter 7 talks about Stephen being stoned to death, him looking up and seeing Jesus, seeing the glory of God, and he said, Lord, lay this charge not against them, and he gave up the ghost and he died. And Brian brought up a great point of how that because he saw the glory of God, because he saw Jesus, that, you know, his suffering, the pain may have been diminished. He may not have got the full effect of the torment because he was seeing Jesus. And it really made sense. I really thought about that more and more after I left that night last Wednesday and got thinking, you know it had to be that way because how could you already be seeing the glory of God and still feeling the full torment of man? I think there was a transition where God gave him rest and pulled him out of that full extent of punishment to see him. I thought it was a great point. But Stephen was martyred for the cause of Christ. And the Bible closes with saying Saul was there. Saul of Tarsus. Thank you, honey. Saul was there at his death. So we're going to pick up in chapter 8 tonight and verse 1. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, Saul, let me tell you about Saul of Tarsus, because later he becomes the great apostle Paul. But at the beginning of Saul's journey, he was called Saul. And Tarsus was in the country of Turkey, just if you want to know that. So here's Saul. He was a very devout Jew, and he was defending his religion the best of his ability. We think about Saul being a bad dude because of all that he did. You know, persecuting. We're going to read in a minute what he did. But Saul truly was doing what he thought at the time was right by defending his Jewish faith. But God understood that he didn't understand yet. He didn't believe yet. The light hadn't been shined yet. That's why you can't, you know, the old saying, you lead a horse to water, can't make him drink it. Can't teach a new dog old tricks, all that. I'm sorry. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know, we hear things like that, right? It's really true. I mean, you know, if you're a pet owner, there's things you can't get your dog to do. And the more mad you get at it, the more it backs up from you, don't want to listen to you, right? I said, come here. Come here now. You can give all the commands you want, but don't mean it'll do what you say. And so here's Saul of Tarsus. The light had not been shown yet, so he was doing what he thought was right. Now I admit, being there to kill Stephen, was it right? And that's one thing that separates Christians from every other group, true Christians, not these extremists that call themselves Christians that still are full of hate and anger. But a true Christian does not put other people's lives in harm. They're healers, they're encouragers, they're forgivers. So Saul had something to learn here. He was trying to defend his faith, but it still did not give him the right to kill someone because they were preaching something different. You know, us as Christians, you don't see Christians going out and hurting people because they don't believe like we do. You know, Gordon goes to work tomorrow night, and the guy on the forklift goes, I don't believe in your Jesus. You don't. Well, you hang on right there. Put that thing in park. Step off that thing. Get him by a chokehold. You believe now? You believe now? Say mercy. Mercy. You believe now? We'll kill you, sucker. You believe now? We don't do that. Thank God we don't do that. Other religions do that, but not Christians. Christians are people that walk with love and mercy, because that's what Christ did. Christ taught us that whenever Peter cut the soldiers, his enemy's ear off, and Jesus healed him. Don't do that. That's not the way we roll. We don't cut off ears in my kingdom, okay? This isn't who I am. And he healed that guy's ear to even show his enemy that I came for you too. That the gospel is not just for the Jewish people. It's not just for the Jerusalem people. It's not just for the people that's all got it all together, but the gospel expands every border, goes into every region, crosses every threshold, and reaches every heart and every life, no matter where we've been or what we've done. Now, we must understand the gospel is available to all people, not just a certain group. Verse 2, devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and they made great lamentation over him. They mourned his death. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. The word havoc translates into being like a wild beast. He entered into every house, and he hauled men and women and committed them to prison. Saul was on a mission. He was actually going in the homes of those who were the followers of Christ and pulling them out and taking them and putting them in prison just because of their faith. We have a lot of rich history in the Christian faith. We talk about our southern heritage or the northern heritage or the redneck heritage, whatever, you know, whatever, the democratic heritage, the republican heritage, whatever you are. We talk about your great-great-grandpap is a Democrat, and by George, you will be a Democrat. Your great-great-grandpap is a Republican, you go, and we pass that tradition down. And we talk about those things, which we should. But we have a very rich heritage in our Christian faith where men started out. And Gordon, they died for their faith. And not just died. No, none of this roll, you know, you live off the government for 30 years in prison, then get a little needle in your arm and just doze off. No. They took these men and they tormented them. Stephen was stoned to death. Literally people taking rocks and hitting him over and over until he died. They were whipped 39 times. They were crucified. I mean, they were tormented for their faith. We have a great history in these men that stood against legalism, who stood against leaders, who weren't ashamed, who didn't cower because they said, okay, if you don't bow, we're going to kill you. Oh, well, I'm preaching Jesus, and that's all I'm going to preach. Now, understand, they could not have done this without this great gift called the Holy Ghost. Because that's why we need to walk in the power of that in our daily lives to fight against what we are fighting. Because we are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting demonic forces trying to pull us into a dark place. We are fighting those demons that tell us to do this and do this and relieve yourself this way and find solace in this area. And it's all a trick of the enemy to pull us away from the spiritual walk with God that we're supposed to have. So it's important that we understand what we're fighting. We're not fighting flesh and blood. You know, I'm a strong opponent. And I know many of you, either casually or maybe more than casually, do this. And that's your thing. But it's one reason I'm a strong opponent of alcohol use. It's not because it's a religious thing or it's a you want to go to hell thing. It's because of the problems and the places and the things that it opens up in your life. It's very important that we abstain from anything that takes us into a dark place. That's why the Bible says that we must resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. The Bible also says this, to give no place to the devil. The word place translates into opportunity. So when we place ourselves in these positions, we are giving opportunity for the devil to work in our lives, to destroy us and to pull us into a cycle that some people spend a lifetime trying to get out of. So it's important that we understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why these men could stand strong. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we hauled men into prison. Verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, this is a key verse here. This begins the true evangelistic word of God. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Remember, we have talked about Samaria before. Samaria was the forbidden country. It was the dogs of people. The Jews did not like the Samaritans. This was about a 1,000-year battle between these two races. And they were two distinct races, the Samaritans and the Hebrews. And the Samaritans were looked down upon. Now here comes Philip, going to the very place Jews looked down on to offer them this same gospel. It reminds me a little bit in our time period, if you're old enough to remember this. I don't know if you remember it, but I've seen video of it. I wouldn't lie, but I've seen video where when black people begin to come to the Billy Graham Crusades, they had it roped off. Black people sat here in the tent, white people sat here. They had a special section for black people in the tent. And Billy Graham said, I'm not having that. And he ordered his ushers to take down the ropes, and they wouldn't. So he himself went and took the ropes down and says, this gospel is for all people. It's amazing how we think that the good news is only for certain people. And I want to go a little bit deeper than that because God gave me an idea tonight. I'm really excited. I'm not going to share it with anybody yet, but I got an idea. God put me. That's not it. God put an idea in my heart that I'm going to see how it goes through. But it's along the lines that this gospel, we think, is for the ones that have it all together. This gospel is for the ones that are actually living the gospel or doing the gospel right, as we define that, whatever that is. And I would love to hear what your right way of the gospel is, because we all have our issues and our shortcomings and our failures. And sometimes we think, this gospel is not for me because of all that I've done, all that I've been. This gospel is not for me because you don't understand how many times I've abused the grace of God and I think my 9 lives are up. Because God has given me chance after chance after chance and I fail time after time after time. So we start getting a mindset that the good news couldn't be for me. The good news is for those that obey it and surrender to it. But the good news is available for all of us. Because remember, Jesus went to Samaria when he was alive and went to the woman at the well. And she was not a very good moral woman. She had a bad reputation in town. And she said, why are you talking to me? Do you not care who sees you? They're going to be talking about you now, Jesus. Because you out here talking to me at the well. And they know what my business is. He said, well, I came to offer you something. I come to offer you the same promise that's offered to the ones not living like you. To the ones who have it all together. To the ones who say they need no Savior. I'm offering this good news to you. I'm offering this living water to you that if you take what I offer you, you will never thirst again. You will have a brand new world. You will be complete. You will find what no man could give you. You could find what no alcohol could give you. You can find what no pleasure could give you. And she gratefully received what Christ had and received his promise into her life and was transformed and was changed. And not only her, but she went and told her family, Jesus of Nazareth came to me and told me my life could be different. All I've been searching for, I found at one moment at this well, at one moment because Jesus decided to go beyond the border of what man says he should do, and he found me in a place he shouldn't have been, but he was, because the gospel goes outside the border of what we put up. And today there are still churches that if you don't look like them, they'll let you know it. If you don't dress like them, they'll let you know it, that you need to find a different church. That is not how we roll here. And I will defend the one that's the weakest. I will defend the person that someone's coming against, and Melanie will too. We will defend the people of this church and protect the sheep of this flock, because this gospel is for the rich. It's for the poor. It's for the bad. It's for the good, if you want to call it good. It's for the ones that have it together. It's for the ones that don't have a clue. It's for everyone. It's for the pierced up and the tattooed, the red hair, the blue hair, the no hair. God is for all people. God's for the short, the tall, the fat, the skinny. God's even for Mickey and even for Minnie. Hallelujah. God is for everyone. The gospel breaks the border. Amen. And for the first time, Philip is taking a step of faith and going to a place that was looked down on, and he preached to them Jesus. And the people with one accord, they gave heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were lame, and they were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There is joy found in the presence of God. There is joy found in the peace of God. There is joy found when we know God is in us and we are in him. And he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. We have a promised hope that will never fail. There's joy in that city. The Samaritans believed in the Old Testament. They believed in Moses. They believed in those first five books, the Torah. They believed in that covenant. And they believed in a Messiah. They believed Messiah was coming. And so they were prepared for this word that was going to be sown. And when Philip came and they saw the miracles and heard the message, see, something about the truth, it sets you free when you really hear it. But you've got to hear it in here. You can't hear it out here. Sometimes the word of God gets here and it sounds good, but it never drops down to the spirit man to come alive. Because we let things the world choke that word out. It gets here, and then we let things the world choke it out before it gets rooted. Let the word of God get rooted, and it will produce, it will grow, it will give you what you need. Samaritans were hearing this word. They were seeing the miracles, and they were so happy that the gospel had come to them. There is good news for me. There's good news for you. Even for those who are sick and physically dying, in Christ there is good news. Because we realize that when we leave this world, we have gained much more. Billy Graham had a quote where he said, when I'm here no more, and I can't remember the exact quote, but when I'm here no more, you know, I'm okay. I'm with the Lord. It's a lot better than that, but anyway, a lot better than that actually. You remember what the quote was, Mom? That's what it is. See, that's much better than what I said. Yes. Don't believe it for a second. I'll be more alive than I ever was. So we have that hope. I've been in the room where people died. I've been in the room, you know, where they took their last breath. I've been in the hospital rooms after they passed. And you know, as a Christian, you realize that their burden is over. Their fight is done. And they are entering a hope that can never fade away. There's joy for us as Christians. We don't have to fear about tomorrow. We don't have to fear what comes our way, because we know, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Next verse, Brandon. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So here's a guy in town who was well known for his ways, and he was doing supernatural things. We understand, church, there is a dark side that is real. If you don't believe me, watch Star Wars. There is a, that's real stuff there. There is a dark side, and there is a real demonic side to where the enemy is fighting. There are demons all around. There are demons that will try to come into your mind, into your thoughts, into your home. I was praying here one time. I've shared this before, years ago, probably 10 years ago. I was praying here at the altar by myself one day, and I was really getting into it. I mean, I just felt the Lord come on me, and I was really praying, and I was really into it. And all of a sudden, in the middle of me just praying and just talking to God, I felt a cold chill come in the church. And I thought somebody had walked in. It was so real. I stopped midstream of praying and turned around. I was on my knees, turned around to see who had walked in. And it was nobody there. And I realized it was an evil spirit trying to disrupt and distract me from what I was doing at this altar. And so I re-enter prayer and rebuked and bind that spirit and didn't feel it again. But I know what I felt. It was a cold sweat chill that came over me. It's like something walked in the sanctuary. We are living in a world, a spiritual world. We just can't see what's going on around us. This is why when your spirit leaves your body, this is why the body decays so quickly. The physical body decays so fast. Within hours, there's immediate physical change in the body with no life. Within hours, you see a change. The reason why: the body has no life without the soul. The body has no life without the Spirit of God. This flesh, this good-looking flesh before you who's upright today and walking around, is only because God's Spirit is keeping it alive. But when that life force is gone, there's nothing left. But that life force goes on well beyond the shell we call flesh. And that's what's exciting. And that's the good news. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we too will have a glorified body. So this sorcerer man was, you know, he was a great influence. People believed in him. He was doing a lot of stuff, but it wasn't God stuff. It was evil. It was dark force stuff. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, it looks like Simon's a believer now. It looks like, oh, wow, great. The sorcerer got, you know, born again. Let's hold on a minute and see what happens to this sorcerer. Because sometimes we say we believe, but until the heart's changed, proof's in the pudding, as Mama said, right? Verse 14. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, Peter and John were the pillars of the movement. And so they wanted them to come and validate their work and be a part of what was going on in Samaria. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. And let's talk about these couple verses. These people have been baptized, just like John the Baptist. They have been water baptized in the faith of Jesus. but they hadn't yet been empowered with the Holy Ghost. And so that's what Peter and John came to do. And when they laid hands on them, remember what the Bible said in Acts chapter 2, that this gift shall be to you. Ooh, it's Bigfoot. Be to you and to all who call, as many as God shall call. So this Holy Ghost wasn't limited to the upper room movement. It wasn't limited to that one moment in Jerusalem. It was unlimited to all who would want it. Now they laid hands on them, and it says they received the Holy Ghost, and the sorcerer saw the effect of that Holy Ghost coming upon them, which tells us this, that there was something visible and physical that happened to them in this experience. The Bible doesn't say exactly what, whether it was they began to speak of the languages or the tongues, whether it was some kind of outward manifestation, but something happened to where the sorcerer knew that's a pretty cool trick. You just laid your hands on them and boom, they're going, something's happening that wasn't happening before. And he offered them money to see how to do this. Now, the sorcerer really believed the gospel, because his heart wouldn't be about, I'll give you money to show me how to do that. So I don't think the sorcerer really believed. He says, give me also this power, that whoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. He was a professional at what he did. We're not talking about some weirdo in downtown Asheville, no offense if you like Asheville, walking around the streets looking all ridiculous and going, ooh, ooh. This was a man the whole area respected. He wasn't thought of as a witch doctor. He was thought of as a man of God who could do miracles. But he wasn't operating by the Holy Spirit. He was operating by the dark spirits. And now he's wanting to give money to know how to have that same effect. We understand the gifts of God are the gifts of God. They can't be bought. And they can't be duplicated based on what someone else does. God equips each of us with different gifts. Thomas is a truck driver. I can't back a trailer behind a tractor. I tried. It's ridiculous. You turn this way, the trailer goes the other way. It freaks me out how it does that. I can't drive no tractor trailer. I wouldn't even try to climb in one and drive it. It's not my thing. It's not what I do. Gordon's a forklift driver. I may could do that possibly. But it would be several days of accidents before I figured it out. Melanie's a nurse. There ain't no way I don't want to do that. I don't have the patience. I don't have the fortitude to go through nursing school for 2 years of losing my life. Don't have it. Each of us have things we do. Each of us have gifts. And God gives each of us those individual gifts. This gift, the Holy Ghost, was not something money could buy. It wasn't a parlor trick. It wasn't something you could be trained in how to do. And one thing that's disturbed me a little bit through the years, and I understand that we have ministry training for things. I get that. But there are some things that the Holy Ghost gives you or not. It just gives it to you or not. It's not something we can duplicate. We must follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. I remember growing up with my pastor. You know, I really loved my pastor, and I really honored him. And I would watch everything he did. I'd watch how he would walk. I'd watch how he would talk to people. You know, I'd watch how he would lay hands on people. I would watch him and see his mannerism, his behavior, how he did things in the ministry, how he preached, how he read the Bible, everything. I was just absorbing like a sponge, you know, everything he did. And then I realized that God's call on his life and my life are completely different. And though I learned great things, and the biggest thing I learned, of course, was the Word of God. And he laid his hands on me more than once, and I received things from the Lord through him laying on hands in my life. But I realize that how he operated, I can't buy that, and I can't trick God into giving it to me, and I can't try to fake it or duplicate it, because that'll come out, that's not really God. And so you either have it or you don't. And I think we must all recognize that we have limitations of where God has us. And if we try to do things outside those things, if God's not in it, we will fail. And that's why as a pastor, I really try to stay where God has me so that I don't do anything to disgrace him or the word of God. Repent, he told him in verse 22, repent of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You know why he's bitter? He's losing business. There's a better preacher in town. You don't think his preachers think about that? Oh, yeah. There's a better preacher in town, and he's taking my business. He was bitter. You're laying on hands, and the cripples are walking, and the blind are seeing, and, man, demons are crying out. Those that are possessed, we're seeing them set free. I can't do those things. I can do some things. I can throw a stick down, turn it to a snake. I make it make a bush, you know, burn and not catch on fire. I don't know. But I can't do what you're doing. And I want to know how you're doing it. It's not me doing it. It's the power of God doing it. And that power of God is still doing those things. That power of God is still real. That power of God is still healing. What's happened is we have put borders on what God is able to do now because we don't see it happening with us. We heard Marjorie give two praise reports of two young people who are cancer-free at this point. And there are two other people, me and Melanie know, both in their 40s, who have been diagnosed with cancer. We found out in the last 3 weeks. Both of them, a woman and a man, different people, not related, have cancer. And we know God can heal. We know God can remove. I think it goes back to what I said before. Other nations aren't as privileged as America is. No matter how much people want to hate America, there's nobody else flocking to China. There's nobody else flocking to South America. There's nobody else flocking to Mexico. I'm just saying. We are a privileged, blessed nation. And we have all these resources other nations don't have. So in the tribes of Africa or in the remote parts of India or Asia, where they don't have a plan A, B, C, D, the only plan they got is God or bust. They go before a holy God when they hear his word preached in a crusade. And they hear an evangelist say, Jesus Christ can make you walk again. And they don't have a medical plan. They don't have doctors they can go to. They don't have medicine they can take. They're in pain and they're crippled or they're blind, whatever the problem is. And when they hear that Jesus can make them whole, just like the Samaritan people, they believe and they receive it. And they hear it and say, yes, Lord, you can make me whole. It's their faith in him above every other thing that creates that healing. Whereas with us, sometimes God's plan is way on down the list. The doctor comes first. The medication comes first. The surgery comes first. The medicine comes first. The counseling comes first. Whatever it is, instead of saying, God, it's me and you, and there's no hope but you. When we get to that point that we exhaust every resource of ourself, and all we have and all we can believe in is God, it's got to be you. Something happens. Something changes. Because we have come to the end of ourselves. And God says, I got you. I've got you now. Trust me. I've got you. Sometimes we're so blessed we just don't see it sometimes. Simon, we'll close out with verse 25. Verse 24. Simon answered and says, pray the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Now, he's not saying he repented. He don't want the consequence. You ever had a kid tell you he's sorry, she's sorry? Does the same thing the next day? I'm sorry, mama. Does it again? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't ground me. I'm sorry. There's a difference in being sorry because we're remorseful and sorry because we don't want to pay the price. There's a big difference. I'm sure a lot of cops hear that story and they get, I'm sorry, officer. Look, man, it ain't mine. I would never do that. Officer, I'm sorry. Please don't take me to jail. Get killed, mama. Don't, please, mama. Don't. Daddy beat me. No, cop. Please, officer. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Please let me go. They beg. They're not remorseful what they did. They just don't want to go to jail. But when we're remorseful, you know what? When we're truly remorseful, we're willing to take the cost of what it is because we realize we were wrong. I deserve this because of my iniquity, because of my sin, because of my failure. And yes, I'm sorry, God, that I have went against what you have told me in my heart not to do. The Holy Spirit is in us for a reason. It's not just so we can sing good songs called Holy Spirit. It's not just to tell people I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's an active living force within us that causes us to overcome things we can overcome naturally. There's people that have quit smoking because they finally give it to God, and God has taken it away. All the stuff they've done doesn't work, but God, when they finally say, God, help me with this, and they listen to the Holy Spirit and let that Holy Spirit in them come alive and work for them, it gives them a power they don't have within their own flesh. The Holy Spirit is alive within every believer. It's alive inside of us. It's not a dormant force that just lays there. The Bible says in Acts that I will pour upon you the Holy Spirit, and you shall have, when it comes on you, you shall be endued with what? Power. Power. Power means the ability to change things. Power means to be able to overcome something. I've got the power to say no. I got the power to stop. I got the power to change direction. I got the power not to listen. I got the power not to watch. I've got the power to only look unto him. He gives me a power I don't have in myself. It takes that. If you ever try to lose weight, it takes power. It takes power. More than yourself most time. It takes the help of God to help you stay strong. There is power in the blood, and there still is today. He didn't want the consequences to come to him. Pray they don't come on me. In verse 25, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. This is our first evangelistic outreach service in the new church. They go to the place the Jews didn't like.